Welcome back to Financial Fitness, episode number 4. I am John Gay. Philip Board is with me. We are both over our colds and our illnesses mostly. It's good to be back with you.
And likewise, good to be back with you as well. And glad to hear that you're feeling better and my voice has returned. So between the two of us, we might make one decent podcast.
Let's not overshoot it just yet, but we'll see.
That's the hope anyway, right?
And it really is a great topic today that I want to get into with you, Philip, and that is IRAs versus Roth IRAs. I think a lot of people, as they begin their retirement planning, and we always say you can't plan it too early, you can't start too early with your retirement planning. That is one of the first things that pops up. What are the differences between a Roth IRA and a non-Roth IRA or traditional IRA?
Great question. Before we get started, the name Roth IRA, most people don't know where it comes from.
I'm going to guess a guy named Roth.
It was a senator by the name of Roth. So he's marked his name forever in the IRS tax code as a Roth IRA. Simple as that. So a couple of different things that are different between a traditional and a Roth IRA. So a traditional IRA, you tend to get a tax deduction for putting money into the IRA. So you can lower your tax burden in the year in which you put that in. However, when you go to take the money out, you pay income tax on that money.
So for a traditional IRA, you're not paying the taxes going in, but you are paying the taxes coming out.
Correct. Versus a Roth IRA, there is no deduction for putting the money into the IRA, the Roth IRA. However, when the money comes out, it comes out tax-free, but not only tax-free to the account owner, it can also be the account owner's beneficiaries never pay tax on it.
Should they pass away?
Correct. So you can leave the Roth IRA to your beneficiaries and they will also never pay tax on it versus a traditional IRA. Your beneficiaries will at some point have to pay the taxes on the entire balance of that IRA. Perhaps not all at once, but nonetheless, they will pay the taxes on it.
So if you don't pay the taxes on the way in, it doesn't matter whether you're here or not. Somebody's paying the taxes on the way out.
Yep. The government always wants their coin. They've got skin in the game. They want to get paid.
Absolutely. So IRA, traditional IRA versus Roth IRA, which one's better?
You know, hard to say. Depends on what it is that you're trying to achieve. If you're in a position where you really would rather have a tax deduction now because you're perhaps making quite a bit of money, versus no tax deduction, but having the income later. So one of the things that's a great question. If you're making a lot of money, though, you can only contribute to a Roth IRA if you're married, filing jointly, with less than $203,000 in income. But there's a phase out that begins at $193,000. Whereas with a traditional IRA, you can make $1 billion a year and still put money into a traditional IRA. So to give you an idea, though, there are certain limits on each one of them. So both a traditional and a Roth IRA have the same limits. So I believe you're under 50, John. So in your case, you could do up to $6,000 a year.
Okay.
In either one of those. However, for myself, I can do an extra $1,000. They do it the over 50 catch up because I am unfortunately just over that hump.
Wouldn't have guessed by looking at you.
Oh, thank you. Considering this is radio, that's fantastic.
Well, we can see each other, at least for the purposes of this conversation. The listeners can't see us. And I will tell our listeners that Philip, I'm 38 and Philip doesn't look a day over my age. So
flattery will get you everywhere, sir. The check's in the mail.
Appreciate it.
So with that being said, you've got these differentials. So 6,000, if you're over 50 and an extra grand, it's 7,000. And that changes as each year goes by. Whereas the Roth IRA has income limits. If you're single, it's 137,000, but there's a phase out, meaning that there's less money that you can put in from 122 up to 137. With a regular traditional IRA, you can do it no matter how much money you make. Another difference with a Roth IRA is there's no age limitations on contributions. Whereas with a traditional IRA, you can't contribute to one over the age of 70 and a half.
Because at that point, you're talking about required minimum distributions anyway, once you hit 70 and a half.
Exactly. But with a Roth IRA, there are no required minimum distributions.
Ah.
So that's kind of a cool little tool.
To sort of sum up what you've said so far, Philip, The difference, of course, between the traditional and the Roth is whether you're paying taxes before or after. So generally speaking, if you think that it's going to be advantageous to pay the taxes before, you would want the Roth. Pay the taxes after, you would want the traditional. But there are limitations so that you can't game the system past a certain point.
Correct. They have thought of everything. In both cases, though, there's something out there called a tax credit. It's called a saver's tax credit.
Okay.
So if you're low income, and I do mean low income, off the top of my head, I want to say it's like $14,000, $15,000 a year. If you put money into a Roth or traditional IRA, you actually get a credit for it on your taxes, which is actually better than a deduction. So if you're listening to this and you don't make a whole lot of money and like it, get a little bit more back on your taxes, then that might be an option for you. But of course, speak to your CPA or tax advisor before you do that.
I find that interesting because you're incentivizing people that are making a really low income to put money away. But if your income is that low, it's going to be really hard to find that money to put it away.
Agreed. It is. It's a big hurdle.
It's a nice incentive on paper, but I question the practicality of it. If you're trying to make ends meet and you've got that minimum wage job, that's going to be tough to find that money. It's great that they're incentivizing you to do it, but boy, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. You know where I think it might come in handy is I think I read a stat that both in California and let's say New York, about 40% of adult children still live with their parents.
Mm.
Not because they failed to launch. It's because it's too expensive to launch. It might be that group of people that might really benefit from their first job, put that in there, or maybe mom and dad helps out a little bit and they get the better tax credit. So, you know, it could be interesting depending on their particular situation. Anyway, withdrawal rules. You kind of touched on this.
Mm-hmm.
With a Roth IRA, you can withdraw the money anytime, but there's got to be at least 5 years to be penalty free.
So this is what they refer to as the 5-year rule, right? Because I've heard of the 5-year rule, but I need a little explanation here.
Essentially, the IRS has said, yes, we're going to give you this tool. It's going to be great. You won't ever pay taxes on it, but you can't put it in there and immediately pull it back out. You've got to leave it. You're going to let it season for 5 years.
Let it marinate.
But it's a combination rule. So it's 5 years and or turning 59 and a half. So myself at 52, if I put that money in there and 5 years from now I'll be 57 and I go to take that money out, I want to get penalized for it.
Okay.
Whereas with traditional IRAs, you cannot withdraw the money before age 59 and a half without a 10% early withdrawal penalty. Now, that there are some ways around that using so-called IRS Rule 72T. I have found the income rates on that to be so low that it doesn't work out for the people that are looking to avoid the penalty. So While that's there, I honestly haven't used it in quite a while because the rates are so low. But the main rule you need to think of is traditional IRA, below age 59 and a half, 10% early withdrawal penalty.
And that is a large number. So
yep.
We started off by creating these Roth IRAs. And then in recent years, some companies and some individuals have started using a Roth 401k. Is that correct?
They have. Now, the downside to using them is that there's combined limits. So
okay.
For myself, the limit for a 401k is about $25,000 for this year. That doesn't mean to say I can do $25,000 into a Roth 401k and another $25,000 into the traditional 401k. It's combined. So I can do $12,500 into Roth and $12,500 into a regular 401k. Same with your IRAs. So even though I said, yeah, you can do $6,000, you can't do $6,000 in each. You do $3,000 and $3,000, or you choose one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the other features, though, that are available out there are, and we use this from time to time, is we do what's called a traditional IRA to Roth conversion.
How does that work?
So, for instance, let's say you've got a large amount of money in your traditional IRA. Maybe you retired or from your prior job, you rolled that 401k into an IRA. And now it's sitting in a position where you have this money that you will end up paying taxes on. And I've had this with a client recently where they had significant medical expenses. Their tax bill was essentially zero.
Mm-hmm.
What we did was we found out how much money we could take out of his IRAs and convert to Roth IRAs without paying taxes on it, in his case. Other people might say, well, I've got another $10,000 within this 15% tax bracket before I go up to the next level. Why don't I take that $10,000 for my traditional IRA and convert it to a Roth? Yes, I'll pay a few extra dollars in tax. However, what I'm doing is I'm lowering the amount of money in my traditional IRA that A, I'll pay taxes on, which will also account towards provisional income tax against Social Security income, and increase the size of your RMDs, required minimum distributions. And then when you move it to the Roth, you've now taken it off the table. If you want the money, sure, knock yourself out. You can go get it. But if you don't, now you're leaving a tax-free legacy to your next generation, which is kind of cool.
So this is almost a third option, Philip, almost like a middle ground. So we talked about the traditional is you pay the taxes at the end when you pull it out. The Roth, you pay the taxes up front. When you convert a traditional into a Roth, you're paying the taxes when you convert it at that time, sort of in the middle, right?
That is correct. So they're pretty good tools when used appropriately. The thing is, it takes quite a bit of planning to do a conversion. You want to make sure that your financial advisor and your CPA are on the same page.
Yes.
And it does make a difference where you pay the taxes from. So if you're converting $50,000 from your traditional IRA and you think you're going to pay the taxes out of the 50 and convert what's left, depending on your age, it could be 10% plus the income tax. And keep in mind that if you convert the 50 and you've already made 50,000 for the year, now you're converting 100,000 of income. So it might put you in a much higher tax bracket.
When you move that money over, pull it out, that's income that counts against you in addition to salary or anything else that you've had coming in.
Correct, correct. So what you want to look at is if you have money that you can pay the taxes out of pocket, that's when you need to get your biggest bang for the buck in a conversion.
Got it. I know you hit on this a few minutes ago, but I wanted to come back to it because I think it's really important and bears repeating, because there are limits on what you can contribute each year. Can you just run through that for me one more time?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those of you that are under the age of 50, it's $6,000 into a Roth IRA or $6,000 into a traditional IRA. Mm-hmm. If you're over the age of 50, then there's an extra $1,000 on both. So they go to $7,000 on either one of them. Notice I didn't say each, I said on either one, because you can do one or the other or a combination.
Okay.
But you can't do more than seven. So I will say, though, for those of you that are listening, if you have an option to do, if you're employed and you have a retirement plan at work, do the retirement plan.
Yeah.
It's by far your best bang for your buck, because if you've got a retirement plan and you're not using it and you do a traditional IRA, it becomes non-deductible anyway because you've got the other plan that you're not using. The government wants you to use your employer plan over setting up your own. And likewise, if you've got a Roth option in your 401k, use that first. Don't be setting up a Roth IRA outside.
And what's so important about these company plans, and a lot of them that do the match, and one of the best things I've ever heard about the company match is if they're going to match up to 3%, up to 5%, whatever they're going to end up matching, and they're going to put in $1 for every dollar that you put in up to a certain amount, it is the only investment on the planet that gets you a 100% rate of return on day one. Because, and you that told me this, Philip, I don't even remember for sure, but I remember hearing this somewhere along the way, that it is the only way you're going to double your money instantly. And it's I don't say foolproof, but it's the only way to instantly double your money. And if you are not maxing out to your company match, you really should, because it is one of the best things you can do financially.
Agreed. I see it all the time. If you're not participating in the company retirement plan and there's a match, you're essentially telling your employer, thank you so much, but I'd rather not have the extra money.
This free money? No, I don't want it.
Right? And people don't look at it that way because they're thinking, oh my gosh, well, if I make $1,000 every couple of weeks and I've got to take 3% of my salary, that's $30 that I can't live without. It's not, because by the time you're done with taxes, that $30 is going to feel like 20 or 25. So it's not as bad as you think. And you're turning 30 and turning it into 60 just overnight.
And I think about compound interest and all these other things as these accounts build up. I think about how many beers I bought when I was a senior in college at age let's say 21 for legal purposes, but you know, maybe a little bit before that too. Every single one of those beers at $4.50 a pop, whatever it was in Syracuse, New York in 2002,
those are some cheap beers, my friend.
Yeah, at the time, in upstate New York, not New York City, to your point earlier. Yeah. But every single one of those beers that I bought that I ended up paying interest on a credit card on because I ran out of money halfway through my senior year of college, if I'd flipped that around and I'd saved that $3 at age 21, at age 38, where I'm at now, it'd be a lot more than $3.
Oh, yeah. I don't have the tool in front of me right now, but I have a program that will illustrate.
I'm glad you don't have it in front of you because I really don't want to know how badly 21-year-old me messed it up for 38 and 65-year-old me someday. So I'd rather not know. I know it's bad. I don't think I need the specific numbers.
Well, I agreed. It's easy to be the ostrich and bury a head in the sand, at least for a little while. It's like, look, I don't want to know. I only want to know what's going to happen moving forward.
Bingo.
I can't fix what's happened in the past. And, you know, to your point, John, I was the same way when I was, you know, early 20s. I cared about things that weren't to do with my retirement because it felt so far away. And I know it's a little off topic, but I've got some people that work for me that are in their 20s.
Right.
They're in their late 20s now, but I took them to an industry conference, and what they came back from me was there was nothing there that was about me at my age. All I know is I need $1 million or $2 million in order to retire, and it's so far away, I can't even see myself getting there. Now, I know how to get there. It's like, look, you've already got $20,000 in your retirement account. You keep doing it, you're going to get there.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to keep doing it. But they don't see that because all they see is $20,000 versus $1 million. Where's the other $980,000 coming from?
Interest and compound interest.
Exactly.
And investments and planning and all that. And you just don't think about how quickly a small amount of money can become a large amount of money over a period of time. Because you're, like you said, you're 21 years old. You're not thinking about something that's 40, 45 years in advance. It's just such a nebulous, what's the word I'm looking for here?
It's enigma. It's out there, right? It's this thing.
I'm going to grab a thesaurus and find the right word for this at some point. But yeah, it's something that is so far off in the distance and hard to think about. But if you're able to plan and if you're able to, I wish, because I bombed my economics class in college, but I wish 21-year-old me could have gotten it through his thick head, which had hair on it at that point, that putting a little bit of money away would have paid dividends in the most literal sense of the word down the road.
You're absolutely right. So those of you that are listening that are maybe on the younger end of the spectrum, I would advise you to go ahead and open an account somewhere and pay yourself first. Every single time you get money in the door, maybe you just set it up so it's you start at $50 a month or something. You know, what's funny is I've got this client that when I first started in the business, I worked with him and I'm like, hey, can you do something? And he's like, yeah, I'll do $100 a month. And that money is over $200,000 now. And all he's ever done is just $100 a month.
Yeah.
But every month, he never stopped, never skipped it. And that's in addition to his company retirement plans that he's got. And you know, he's bought a house since then and his wife and blah, blah, blah. So it's really interesting to see just how much that can grow. And he's still another 10, 15 years from retirement, which means that money's going to double a couple more times. And this goes to the rule of 72. So basically at 10%, money doubles every 7.2 years.
Ah.
At 7.2%, it doubles every 10 years, right? So if he's got 15 years to retirement, he's sitting on $200,000 now, even without additions, in 7 years, that'll turn into $400,000. And another seven, it's 800,000.
And I will say, if you're having any trouble getting your head around some of these numbers that Philip and I are talking about, the best thing you can do is come in, talk to Philip. He will pull out that tool that I'm afraid of, that he will show you how much a little bit of money here can just compound and add up and what it can do for you. Whether you're 19 or 59, walking into his office, he will show you what putting some money away now can turn into and really show you the numbers that'll work for your specific situation. And if somebody wants to come talk to you, Philip, what are the best ways to reach you?
Our phone number is 909-981-1720. And also we're on the web, www.oneononefinancial.com. That is with numbers. So it's the numeral one, O-N, the numeral one, financial.com.
Always a pleasure, Philip. We'll talk to you next time on Financial Fitness.
All right. Great to hear your voice again, and glad you're feeling better.
Likewise, buddy.
Securities and advisory services offered through Centaurus Financial, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC, a registered investment advisor. 1&1 Financial and Centaurus Financial, Inc. are not affiliated companies.